I just won two club championships, not even senior, two regular club championships. To do that, you have to be quite smart, and you have to be able to hit the ball a long way. And I do it. He doesn't do it. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He challenged me to a golf match. He can't hit a ball 50 yards.
And then came Joe Biden saying, well, I can too hit the ball. And no, you can't. Yes, I can. It was like Grumpy Old Men Part 4.
That was the low point, I really
think. Just felt like it was two kids on the playground just, you know, you did that. You know?
You got to think Netflix gets this presidential golf match, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
they
Else. The showdown. There, after these debates, there is this exercise where reporters can go and get, you know, kind of candid takes from those in the campaign. It gives the campaign a chance to spin it their way. It's really kind of a ridiculous exercise, but it's what they do. Well, the spin room last night had to be an interesting place after this five alarm screw up from Joe Biden. Aaron Call is director of debate at the University of Michigan. He was credentialed in the, he was, as they say in Hamilton, in the room where it happened. Aaron Call, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be back.
Okay, so the debate ends. You walk into the spin room. Who was staffing the spin room for the Democrats?
Gavin Newsom was probably the highlight, and there was a lot of local surrogates from Senator Warnock and the former mayor of Atlanta.
But no one from the campaign?
They were, you know, kind of his his campaign surrogates at this event, and basically everyone swarmed them, Gavin Newsom mostly, and they took a few questions and then got out of there pretty quickly because it was very hard to defend, and he felt for them, but they were kind of everyone descended upon them, and they took a few questions, and that was it.
I mean, Aaron, this was supposed to be a debate, and it's supposed to be about policy. But, you know, how important was that, you know, is the physical presence and the vocal clarity and shaping the perceptions of voters? Because last night, it was not very good.
Exactly. I mean, you want a combination between the two things. Something solid on policy and nuance, but also optics and nonverbals matter. And, President Biden may have been struggling with a cold and had some other obstacles, but that first 15, 20 minutes, I mean, incumbent presidents usually falter in these initial debates, but that was pretty tough beginning. And he improved a little bit as things went on, and he kind of got more aggressive, but at the beginning, it was kind of tough to watch. And not what you would expect, for an incumbent president, this very seasoned debater. You know, there's a lot of new challenges they had to adjust to, not having an audience and just how it impacts muting the microphone. But Trump didn't seem to have any trouble with that learning curve and immediately got off to a good start. And neither of them had debated for 4 years. So there's not really any excuses for the president on that one.
Aaron, in this scenario, the moderators were not fact-checking. They weren't interjecting. It was supposed to be about the candidate. When there were false statements made by Trump, it seemed like President Biden couldn't land any blows, even though they were softballs just waiting to be landed.
Yeah, I think the moderators made a concerted effort to not make the debate about them and just have the candidates kind of speak for themselves, and their practice represent that. We've seen some moderators fail, most famously Candy Crowley in 2012, when she tried to get between President Obama and Mitt Romney. And so they weren't going to do that. They wanted to leave it to the candidates. And others, you can kind of do your own independent fact-checking, voters, viewers themselves. But yes, President Biden did not have the ability to do that. And part of the issue is just Trump in general. He's very quick. And, by the time you try to get to corner him on one thing, he's already moved on to something else or multiple things. So, it's just difficult. He's a difficult person to debate, and his style and kind of rapid ascension and pace. So it'd be tough for anyone, but especially for an 81-year-old incumbent president who was a little bit under the weather and maybe was a little bit too programmed, had too many things he wanted to do, and wasn't able to be his kind of normal and free self, where Trump, the preparation he did was more free-flowing, he seemed loose, and wasn't burdened by kind of all that information that he had and things he wanted to get out.
If you are a young voter if you're a double hater, if you are an independent that just is looking for a place to land, can you point to anything last night that was forward-looking that would have given you something to hang on to help you make your decision, which is what these debates are supposed to do?
Yeah. No, I think just in general, there was kind of a lack of forward-looking vision and optimism. You know, we think back to Ronald Reagan kind of shining sitting on a hill, and, you know, we didn't see that. A lot of defending of records, and even some grievances and, you know, petty things like you started the introduction with. But, yeah, young voters are kind of tuned out, and out of all the parts of the President Biden's coalition, that's probably the part that from 2020 that's abandoned him the most and is problematic. And so, no, I didn't see anything there. They may be discouraged and not vote, and obviously there's some third-party choices. But he didn't do anything to kind of, you know, make the affirmative case and close the deal. He has one more opportunity left, but it's months and months away, and this is kind of the lingering impression that's going to exist, and he doesn't have opportunity to correct it anytime soon.
So if that happens.
Right. So, Adam, was this a debate between Biden and Trump or Biden and the folks on the couch?
Both. I mean, it's, you know, normally – you also have the in-person audience that you're playing to, and so you have a bunch of different roles. This, given the lack of that audience, basically everyone is playing to the audience of tens of millions of people. We still haven't seen the final numbers on that, but you've got your opponent there, and even though because of the muting of the mics, the audience may not be getting everything, you're still navigating with that challenge in person in real time. So it's tough to kind of do that, and also neither of them knew how they were doing, how things were landing. Know what was going on. They couldn't even talk to their advisors in the middle. So the changes and everything, it really increased the degree of difficulty. They were both out of practice, but kind of one overcame those challenges a lot better than the other. And the stakes were so high. And, you know, President Biden starts in a much worse position this time and really needed it. Thought he had kind of overcome some of the age questions after a pretty decent State of the Union address, but now he's kind of back to square one on that question.
Yes or no, Aaron Call, if you're advising the Biden administration, do you move forward with your plans for the next debate?
Yes, I'd actually call for another debate tomorrow, kind of what Trump did last time. Do something, change the subject, you know, do a speech in front of Congress. Wow. You know, you went to the Waffle House last night. Do anything you can, because that's not the thing you want to define your legacy. You want another opportunity as soon as you can.
Change the subject. Aaron Call, we appreciate you being there on The Point with CNN. Thank you.
Anytime.